Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, the virus that is more deadly than COVID-19. That telephone number is 831-0917 if you'd like to join in this dialogue discussion or ask your questions. I don't know of any more important subject than we could discuss, especially in this era, this particular time and place in society, where we're finding so much false, phony, fake information bounded about in relationship to COVID-19 and the intervention by our governing authorities that want to force us to wear masks or force us to stay locked down or to force the churches to stay in shutdown mode. They've already forced business to by the hundreds of thousands to go bankrupt. We've already seen over 150,000 people die as a result of suicide because of a sense of hopelessness and desperation and helplessness, almost as many as have died from the COVID-19 virus. But there is a deadly disease, and Dr. Phelps and I have been talking about that. That deadly disease is called sin. It has greater harm, far more far-reaching devastation than COVID-19 ever would have been possible to have. Dr. Phelps, continue your thought in relationship to that disease called sin and its far-reaching effect.
We're looking at the Book of Truth today, the Bible, and in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, we learn about this deadly disease, the spiritual sickness that's called sin. And I want to read a few verses, starting in Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Paul was asking a question comparing the Gentile people with other nations, people from other nationalities. He said, no, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they're all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. So when we read these words in Romans chapter 3 and elsewhere in the scripture, we learn that all are under sin. And the scripture means that all are infected.
All are infected. And as a result of that infection, all are going to die, according to the scripture, Dr. Phelps. But the question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered, Dr. Phelps, is it possible that there are some symptoms? When we think about the COVID-19, the Wuhan China virus, there are symptoms. Symptoms is an elevated temperature, coughing, sneezing, aches and pains, shortness of breath, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the symptoms. What are the symptoms, Dr. Phelps, of this major, major malady, this major disease, this virus that infects all of humanity? It's called sin. What are some of the symptoms of that?
The symptoms are many, but I want to mention a few of those today that we find in the text in Romans chapter 3. The first of the symptoms of the spiritual disease called sin is unbelief.
Unbelief.
Unbelieving. And there are many kinds of unbelievers. I'll mention just a few of those. There's the atheist that says there is no God. Read about that in Psalm 14. Fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And the agnostic, that's a person who doubts that there is a God. If there is a God, we cannot know him, he says. And I've invented a word. It's not in the dictionary. I call it agnostic.
Agnostic.
He has no idea.
He's ignorant.
He has no idea about the things of God. And then there's the idolater. That's the person who's deceived, serving false gods. There's the infidel, who denies the truth of God. And unbelievers like these, and maybe like you who are listening, refuse to receive the truth of God and reside in darkness and doubt.
It is sad that that would be the case. In fact, when you make mention of that, Dr. Phelps, I'm reminded that just earlier this morning, one of my sons that's on his way back to his home in Tennessee, Greg and I stood in my office and talked for a moment before he left. And he said, Dad, my pastor in Tennessee has just said something about being brokenhearted because he had gone to the home to visit a man that the physicians had told the man that he had 2 weeks to live. And Greg's pastor went in to see him, talked with him, had a few words of encouragement for him, and then told him about the plan of salvation, offered him hope, offered him an opportunity to accept the antidote for his future eternity. And the man rejected. When his pastor had asked him, would you like to receive Christ? Would you like to say yes to Jesus? Would you like to be saved? The man simply said, no, no. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I can't imagine having a disease like Wuhan China virus and there being the opportunity to take hydroxychloroquine and anyone say no. I can't imagine having a disease that you know that there's a cure, you know that there is an antidote, you know that there's an answer, and you simply say no. But as Dr. Phelps was just saying, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks today that include the atheist, the agnostic, the idolater, the infidel, and other categories of unbelief, that simply unbelief will be the deadly response to the virus that is deadly, the disease that is more deadly than the Wuhan, China coronavirus. Dr. Phelps, what else would be some of the symptoms for this deadly disease, this deadly pathogen that's called sin? What other symptoms do we find?
Another one of those, Dr. Youngblood, is found in verse 9, and that says, we're under sin. They're all under sin. And that means we're infected by it. We are brought under the power of, or we are under the condemnation of. So the verse tells us that we are then infected by this disease. The Bible tells us how we are infected by this disease, by birth, actually. In the scriptures, Isaiah chapter 58, we read some words about how we became a sinner. Isaiah chapter, Isaiah chapter 58 and other places in the scripture, the Bible teaches us that we were made, we were sinners by birth after we were born. We are born into sin. Psalm 53 and other places indicate that. Another is by choice and by practice. We become a sinner by our own will. We choose that way. I remember before I became a Christian, I walked out of a revival meeting where the gospel had been preached, and I didn't say it out loud, but to myself, I said, I can't quit sinning.
And I actually did that. That's the idea and the thought, whether they say it or not, with most people
today. I
can't
quit that kind of life.
That's right.
And another is by practice. We simply do what's contrary to the will of God. There's a little story I heard. I'm not sure it's true, but it could be. A little boy is running down the hall very fast while his little sister told his mother the bathroom, in the bathroom, it, the tub's running over. And the little boy said, I didn't do it. Sure he did.
Sure he didn't.
Another thing is this matter of how we choose a lifestyle. And if we're living a lifestyle of immorality, we've chosen a way of that's not pleasing to God. We shouldn't blame God for what we are by saying, God made me this way. See, God is not the author of sin. According to the book of James in the New Testament, the Bible tells us that it's a choice that we make. We choose to do wrong. We choose our way to live. book of James tells us, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Sin is a vicious cycle that takes place, and it begins in our mind when we conceive of sin, and it brings forth, and we practice, we put it into action, we act it out.
Dr. Phelps said talking about a volitional choice that a person has. That volitional choice goes back to Genesis, the third chapter. Talk with us about that. What we typically call theologically, doctrinally, biblically, the origin of sin. And that sin comes in the heart and mind of a person that wants to doubt God, disobey God, and have their own will, their own way. Talk about that origin point of how Satan brought about the temptation and how man had fallen as a result of that. And so that all have sinned. It's not a matter of just some, but all. So therefore, the whole world is infected by this pathogen called sin, this deadly virus, this deadly disease that is called sin.
Sin had its beginning with a beautiful creature that God made. His name was Lucifer. And sometime in the past, then he chose to rebel against God. And he became the devil and Satan. In Genesis chapter 3, we see him then tempting or bringing about sin and entering into the human race. Genesis chapter 3, the devil introduced unbelief as an alternative to believing God.
Yes, that's right.
Listen to chapter 3, verse 1 of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So what he was doing was introducing unbelief as an alternative to believing God. Also, he introduced lies to refute the truth of God. The woman then responded and said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. By the way, she misquoted God because God didn't say all the words that she said he did.
That's right, adding to the scripture.
She added to the word of God. So she was not sure, so she could not refute what the devil had said because she wasn't sure of what the word of God really says. And so sin entered into the human race. The Bible says in the New Testament, Romans 5, verse 12, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Phelps, what we're saying is that this virus, this pathogen, this disease that is called sin is far more deadly than the coronavirus, and yet we find those today that are concerned about the coronavirus, and we ought to be. We ought to recognize that it is dangerous, it's deadly. But Dr. Phelps, we know how we're infected by that disease called sin, but there are multitudes today that are simply unresponsive. What causes them to be unresponsive to this thing that is called the pathogen of sin, the disease that's so deadly called sin?
In Romans chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. People tend to be unresponsive to the truth of God. See, God has spoken to mankind in multiple ways. I'll just mention three of them, I could mention a dozen.
Yeah, that's right.
One is his natural revelation, that's creation. Creation is the handiwork of God. And we see many things that tell us about God and who he is and his power and his person. That which may be known of God is manifest in the things that he has created. God has showed it unto them. Even the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's one of the ways that God has given to us his revelation.
That's what we call the natural revelation.
Revelation.
Creation.
And then there's a special revelation, and that's the scriptures. The scriptures are given by inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration, and it's profitable to us for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness. We have a whole Bible filled with truth and things that we could learn if we would just open the book then and ask God to teach us, he will. One of the things about David is David was ready to listen to God. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. He said in Psalm 25, verse 5, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." In other words, he was asking God to show him more and more of the truth. Then there's the personal revelation, which came by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God spoke to men in old times, and we call it the inspired scriptures. But when Jesus came, he spoke to us in person. God spoke to us and made himself known to us in the person of his Son. Those are just three of the ways that God has made his truth known to us. But people tend to be unresponsive to the truth of God. People are unresponsive. Excuse me. But how can this be possible in view of the fact that the heathen countries are filled with mosques, temples, and cities of worship? The answer is the English dictionary lists over 100 religions. Compare your dictionary with mine. You'll see that there are hundreds of these religions throughout the world. Which one is right? Only the true one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 20, the Bible talks to us about how that they're the heathen, that is the unbelieving people of the world, many of them are very religious. They sacrifice to demons and not to God, or they worship demons and not God. Behind the heathen false gods and false beliefs is the God of this world. It's possible by adding religion to your life that you make the infection by the sin virus worse.
Yes. In fact, if I can interject this thought, they've chosen to believe a lie. And if I can use that as a corollary and parallel, Dr. Phelps, there are a lot of folks today, even with the Wuhan China virus, they've chosen to believe the lie. But there is, Dr. Phelps, and we'll talk about it, let you finish your thought there, then we'll talk about the fact that there we need an immune system. We need something that will bring about immunity against the pathogen, the disease. So talk with us about that, tying up your thought, and then let's make a transition in the last several minutes that we have about the need. They're talking about now, Dr. Phelps, from the standpoint of the Wuhan China virus, COVID-19, that we need to have a vaccine. The vaccine will set up an immune system. Now, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck this in. I'm against the vaccine. I'm one of the no-vaxxers, and I don't believe that the state has the right to handcuff you, grab you, strap you down, and stab a needle in your arm and force you to take a vaccination. That's being pushed by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They're the ones that want to ultimately introduce and be successful in giving the vaccination. And I'll go into all of the details of that at a later time, but the point being, we need to understand that there is a system of immunity, even for the individual today, from this ultimate virus that will take your life not only in the present, but for eternity. Dr. Phelps, we've got just a few minutes left on the broadcast. Talk about the need for a human immune system.
Well, one of the things I learned from the scriptures is that God has originally made us human beings with a built-in immune system to fight infection.
Yes.
The immune system operates through the bloodstream, and specifically through the white blood cells. The white blood cells are programmed to act two ways. There are, first of all, helpers. These are those cells that produce antibodies. And then there are the killers. they act to destroy the infected cells. The scriptures in Leviticus 17, verse 14, tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And that says a lot. But due to the devastating assault of the sin virus, the human immune system has been compromised.
Yes.
So that it leaves us unhealthy and highly vulnerable to infection and disease. Way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, and verse number 5, when God saw the results of sin, some of the symptoms of sin, he said these words: God saw the wickedness of man, that was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So those verses tell us of the devastating effects of the sin virus. So the blood that flows through our veins tends toward corruption, not health or life. Mm-hmm. And herein is the problem with facing diseases today, whether they're viral diseases or whatever. When a new virus, such as the coronavirus, affects the human body, doctors and scientists try to develop a vaccine to fight the disease. However, to this date, they have no approved vaccine or wonder drug for the viral disease. Antibiotics are ineffective in the fight with viruses. The same is true when we face the spiritual disease, the sin virus. There is no known human remedy.
That's right.
The good news is that God has provided a remedy for the infection of sin, and it's not corruptible human blood. Mm-hmm. Instead, it operates through the incorruptible blood of Christ. The precious blood of God's beloved Son that was shed on the cross is the only heaven-approved remedy for the sin virus.
I like that. It's the seal of approval of God, the heaven-approved remedy. I like that.
His blood is precious because it's the only serum that will cleanse us from the poison of sin. I'm going to call your attention to a couple of verses found in the Bible that talk about how God has provided a way for us to be made healthy spiritually.
Yes.
And the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 3, we read about the work of Christ as our sin bearer, as our Savior. And it says that he came into a world, he came into this old sin-cursed world, and he laid down his life at the cross, shed his precious blood, and he by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. The word purged in that verse means he purifies or cleanses us. In the book of Hebrews, it's a wonderful study. By the way, you need to know what the book of Hebrews has to say. We read further in chapter 9 that it is not by the blood of bulls and goats like they offered in Old Testament times, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge, which means to cleanse or purify, your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
That's right, amen.
Jesus came to take away the sin of the world, to remove sin, to take it out of the way. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin.
Right.
Remission means that spiritual wellness or health. And also in the book of the Revelation chapter 5, one of the songs that we're going to be singing there, we're told about in Revelation chapter 5, is we're going to be singing and praising the Lord that he shed his precious blood so that we could be redeemed. And we are going to sing these words, Revelation 5, verse 9. Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue, people, and nation. And so the Bible tells us that through the blood of Christ, we can be free from this spiritual illness caused by the sin virus, and we will not perish thereby.
But have everlasting life.
Everlasting
life. Ladies and gentlemen, just as we're finding in society today, where hydroxychloroquine has been banned, where doctors have been refused the right and the authority to write a prescription for it, where multitudes have died as a result of it being withheld. In fact, those nations that have used hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic against the Wuhan China virus, those that have used it for the patients that have contracted that disease, have found that it works. And they say that a major number, some 76%, 79%, have been benefited by that, if you please, RX, that medical care, that prescription. The prescription today for the disease that is far, far more deadly than the Wuhan China virus, that disease, that pathogen, is called sin. Dr. Phelps, take the last minute and a half we have and talk with our listeners about how they can receive the cure from that disease called sin.
When we look into the scriptures, we find that the Bible tells us that God does not want us to perish as a result of this virus, this incurable virus as far as human beings are concerned. And he is not willing that any should perish, but have everlasting life. God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Remember, God's salvation is by invitation, not by election.
That's right.
We must respond to the invitation. God gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Amen.
God has given us the way, and that's the only way. Jesus
only
said,
way.
"I'm the way, the truth, and the life."
Ladies and gentlemen, contrary-wise to what we hear and see and know in relationship to the Wuhan China virus, where they're talking about no known cure, there is a cure, an immune system that's been set up by God himself, and that is through the blood. Life is in the blood, and it's not our blood, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary, that whosoever will may come. Thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.